Hello, champions, and welcome to the What's My Role podcast. We're a group of adventurers exploring the vast world of Warcraft, sharing our experiences, learning together, and embracing the chaos. I'm Bean, and today I'm joined by Donix.
Hey.
And Golden.
Howdy.
All right, so today we're going to start off with our week in Warcraft, and then we're going to move on to the main topic of WoW and other media. And then we'll just see where the conversation goes from there, probably cover some of the Seeds of Renewal update that's coming up here, and our thoughts on it. So, we'll start with you, Donix. How was your week in Warcraft?
My week was great. I got my best-in-slot weapon. I got my four-piece tier set. I got lucky, so it was great.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You get your Biss weapon and the four piece of your tier set in the same week. So, yeah, that's really lucky.
Yeah.
What about you, Golden?
Pretty good. I got a fish up a waterfall and got me a nice upgrade for at least one of my weapons.
Carpe Diem quest.
So, challenging for some more than others. So I got that, and then I got an alt, my shaman, and surprisingly was able to get a decent amount of gear faster than I was able on my main. So pretty good overall. I haven't done any dungeons though this week.
Yeah. Well, since our last podcast, we spent like a whole night doing a Tal'Dorei like four times in a row, didn't we?
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, we're pretty good at that one now.
Yeah, I think we kind of... Well, it's funny because that was my first time ever tanking an MMO. And you've healed before, Golden, but you're kind of getting back into it. So it was a really experimental night for us, I think. But it was fun.
It was awesome.
DPS, which was awesome.
Yeah, you did get to DPS. Don't enjoy it too much. You got to go back to heals. But it was really good. It was a lot of fun. I hadn't played healer in so long, and I was really kind of stressed at first because I was like, I don't even know. Like, I haven't looked and read all the abilities. Like, what am I going to do for my rotation? And it just kind of came back really fast, though, after playing for a minute. And then I was feeling pretty comfortable. And, you know, as a healer, I'm sure Donis can speak to that. Once you start feeling comfortable with, like, your healing rotation and what you know you got to take care of, that's when you can start really contributing to damage as a healer as well. So you don't have that tunnel vision and just focus on healing. You kind of get a rhythm for how much your abilities heal people for. You get used to the fights, and it all just kind of lines up.
Yeah, it's a little different with Discipline Priest just because my damage is part of my healing.
No, aren't you lucky?
So it kind of forces you to, well, lucky and, you know, yes, it's nice because I can do the DPS and it's just part of the healing. But like when you guys start taking a ton of damage, then it's like, oh, crap.
Yeah.
You know? What am I going to bust out that's going to do enough damage to heal you guys up?
Yeah,
it went surprisingly well though.
Really,
it's funny because my first time tanking was in Mythics. I never did any normal dungeon or heroic dungeon or any other tanking whatsoever. We just jumped right into Mythics. They have like very minimal like taunts and stuff. There's only like two taunts that they specifically have taunt buttons, right?
Yeah, but all your abilities should be generating threat or at least increased threat.
Probably the most annoying thing with the Paladin tank is putting down the Sanctity, and then I have to kind of stay in that to be, you know, the most efficient. So it really is limiting for my movement.
Is the Sanctity your consecration? Is that the same thing? Or?
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
Yeah. It's been a while since I played a Paladin.
I might be having the terms wrong, but it's my little AoE that I place at my feet.
Yeah, consecration, I think.
I don't know why I was calling it Sanctity.
Sounds more holy.
Yeah. I was probably just getting it mixed up with my tank character's name, Sanctabean. But yeah, I feel like it's a really simple rotation. But it was fun, like, throwing out the shield and grabbing pulls with that, because you don't really have a lot of control over it. You kind of just see what it decides to hit.
You know? Which is fine, and you know, with what we're doing, because we're trying to get that time down. So if we pull as much as we can handle, we're good.
Yeah, I was just talking about how having to use consecration and like stand in it is probably the toughest part of tanking with a paladin. Yeah. I feel like the rotation's pretty simple, though, and it's really just kind of spamming. It's not judgment. I've got it set to my 4 on my mouse, but I've got to spam it, whatever it's called.
Yeah. Well, you get a lot of utility, though, with the paladin. So actually, it can get complex, because I'm sure you got some abilities that have like offset global cooldowns or offset cooldowns.
Mm-hmm.
And lining them up, but yeah, paladins offer a lot of utility. It's awesome.
You got your own oh shit button with lay of hands.
Yep, you sure do.
Like, if you looks like shit's going real bad, you could just hit that.
Yeah, I haven't had to use it yet though.
Yeah. I noticed with the shaman, I like the skill. I like putting on acid rain, which is a nice dot. So basically, when I do the heal, when I'm doing the AOE heal with the shaman, it's also doing damage to any enemies within that circle as well.
Oh, it does both.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's even more reason for me to be standing over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice being able to play my rogue and just push buttons. And then if I die, it's Ryan's fault, so.
That's right.
Golden's fault.
Yeah, not my fault.
No.
Yeah, no.
If you stole a threat from me, that's your own problem.
That's right. Stop being so threatening.
Yeah, dude, chill.
I think I was doing all right. I don't think I ever actually pulled threat off of you.
Yeah, we ran it, what, 3 times? Or was it 4?
4 times, man.
I think 4 times.
Because we didn't time it the first time. And I think that's mainly because of,
we ran it 0 the first time, just to get a feel for it with our alts.
Right.
And then, then we ran it +2, and that's when we didn't time, right? I think I've got it pulled up here, actually. Let me see.
Correct. We didn't time it.
I did have some
tabs. Actually, I'm pretty sure we started with a Mythic 2 key. No, wait. No, you're right. We did a 0.
Yeah, we did 0 first because we're complete noobs.
Yep.
Okay. I've got Raider IO pulled up. Ataldazar 1 week ago. It just shows me my best run from last week. Well, either way, I think we cleared it. We didn't clear it by like 1 minute, right? The first time.
Right.
And we then almost, we cleared
we
it.
We almost got like, close.
Yeah, it was close. We had a wipe, though, which kind of ruined it.
But we also had a DC at the beginning of it, so that
and
took
it was
some time
the
off.
The fire mob, the augur, when we were fighting the priestess, like off to the side, it got pulled in and was like raining down flames on us, and I think that's what... That's what caused us to not time it that time. And then we did it with like 17. We did it in 17, and then we did it in 15, I want to say.
Well, in the second boss, we got hung up on too.
Oh, the totems?
Yeah.
That one's a bitch, like having to get the totems all at the same time.
Well, especially when you have one person that's way higher geared than the rest of the DPS.
Yeah.
So, like...
Yeah, it definitely causes a... imbalance
where he had to slow down to keep it even with everybody else, and also I was trying to help out with it instead of tanking him, but honestly though, he doesn't really listen to being tanked. He kind of just jumps around. But I guess that was, did we do anything else cool? I don't think so.
No, I mean, we ran Algathar's Academy, but I mean, that one's so easy.
Yeah, that one was pretty easy.
Yeah. Hello there.
Hey. Welcome to the cast, goat.
Can you hear us?
Yeah, guys.
There you are.
Took a second to load up. Oh, sorry. Yeah.
So you're good.
Well, how was your week in Warcraft, Lance?
Worked Monday day shift, then came back in for Tuesday, Wednesday night, then came back in for Friday day shift.
But you said you played Warcraft last night, didn't you?
For 2 hours.
Yeah, 2 hours, that's something. Yeah, what'd you do in those 2 hours?
Hold on, I remember the name. It's the... Oh, goodness. Vril something. It's the first island you go to.
The Exile's Reach?
No, not Exile's
Reach. Is that what it's called?
Hold on, let me look it up. Pearl Tides? Pearl Tides?
Does anyone know what he's talking about?
Hold on.
Well, Goat is our resident WoW learner, Padawan, I guess. I mean, we're all learning, but he's our most learniest.
Over here, you can learn something.
Okay, then. All right. Are you still looking for it, or are we just moving on?
Well, since I'm just going to launch.
He can keep looking for it, and we'll keep rolling.
Okay. We'll move on. Okay, do we want to talk about the Seeds of Renewal update first, or do we want to go to the main topic of WoW and other media?
I'm excited to do WoW and other media if you guys are good to roll with that.
Okay, if you're excited, yeah, I'm good with it. You can go ahead and start it off then.
So I saw the movie back when it came out. I don't remember it. Donix. Was it? I'm not sure what year that was.
2016.
WoW, the War of 2016.
Yep.
And Bean, I know you mentioned it before, but like the CGI on that movie is actually phenomenal. It's really good.
Even I was surprised.
Yeah. But things I didn't know when I had watched it the first time, and I ended up watching, I watch a few like lore content creators on YouTube, right? I'm sure quite a
you
few
can
of
go
us
ahead
do.
And shout them out.
Yeah.
I don't remember the name. But did you know that, cause I don't know, like, WoW's lore is kind of all over the place, right? I mean, it's got a lot of cracks in it because it's so expansive and there's so many characters.
And it's been
and
around for so
many,
long.
Right, it's been around for so long. So there's characters and stuff that people will argue whether or not they're canon or they're not. But there is a comic, and it involves Gorana and Medivh having a son named Medan, which does not happen in the movie, right? So for those that don't know, like Gorana, right, she's half Draenei, she's half orc, and she has a child named Medan with Medivh. So 50% human and then quarter orc, quarter Draenei.
Oh, she's human? Oh, the baby.
No, never Draenei. Mind. The baby.
Because Medivh is human.
Yeah.
Yes.
Medivh, yeah. So like apparently he's like the most OP character ever in WoW, and even though he's referenced in one of the stories in one of the books, it's funny because when you the guy showed the table of context and it for Medan, it said page 404 for not found.
Yeah,
in the book. Wow. But like he's such an OP character, and he actually is involved with characters and a storyline that is considered canon. But I thought that was kind of crazy because that's definitely not the direction that the movie takes you in, right?
No.
Yeah. But yeah, like he's like a part of some prophecy. He can just do all kinds of magic just so fast. He learns and like he's so, just insanely strong.
Do you know if he was conceived like during that time or is it after Medivh's death? Because supposedly he's still alive, right? Somehow, Medivh? Some way. Yeah.
Well, and that whole spirit. Story is through a comic book, right?
Yes, the part involving Medan is.
Did they ever say whether that was canon or just a...
I don't think they've ever, you know, fully committed to it being canon or not.
Well, right. So I've in the video I watched said he was, and then in what I've looked up online says he's not. Probably for obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. He's a little ridiculous. But the band of heroes that Medan goes on this adventure with are canonical characters, and the story itself, as far as the I guess the dilemma that took place, is also considered canonical.
Yeah, because in
but not him, I guess.
In The Last Guardian, the book, after Medivh's death, Khadgar sees like a ghostly vision of Medivh from the future. So that's why I'm not sure. Like, also, this book's pretty old, and I've only gotten to like Beyond the Dark Portal. So I still am very much at the beginning of the lore as far as I'm learning stuff. So I'm not sure like if this Madan is supposed to have been like born during that time or afterwards, or maybe conceived during.
So
basically the film
he's conceived
timeline.
In Karazhan, and because Garan
would have to be
but she ends up basically abandoning him or giving him away to another individual to raise because she didn't trust herself. She thought basically, I might be butchering this, but she thought she'd go crazy, attempt to kill people she cared about, yada yada.
Yeah, but the movie made some kind of strange lore choices.
Yeah.
With like, I feel like Khadgar was just really weird and different.
Well, it's like baby
he's
Khadgar.
Supposed to have been like Medivh's like apprentice and then go through all the learning with him. And then at the end, he's supposed to, you know, become old and everything, but none
of
that
happens.
What's
part of a curse? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like right as they're, you know, killing Medivh is when he hits him with that and turns him into an old man.
Yeah.
But in the movie, he's like some sort of a runaway from...
Yeah, he's a...
Kieran Tor.
Kieran Tor, thank you. Right. Kieran Tor, the city of... Right, the floating city in the sky, Dalaran. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're like super mega wizards all live there.
Yeah.
That's right.
So he's supposed to have like grown up there, and then they send him to go become Medivh's apprentice.
Right.
But... And then there also wasn't any real, like, explanation when the movie starts. It kind of just starts. There's no, like, Sargeras stuff. There's no Titan stuff. There's no...
Right.
There's no, like, Draenei stuff either. You see them for, like, a half second.
Yeah, you see them for a half second, and they don't explain Gul'dan being corrupted right and Sargeras and everything else tied into that. I don't explain any of it.
Yeah, they're kind of just like Draenor. Do they even call it Draenor in the movie? I don't know if they do, but they're like, our world sucks, so we're going to take yours now.
Yeah, basically. Did you guys notice? I don't know if you ever seen it, but like the original cinematic for Vanilla.
No.
Did you guys ever see it?
I don't think I've seen that.
I'm pretty sure like the first... that first scene in the movie where it shows the Alliance soldier picking up his shield and getting ready to like face off against the
Orc. Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's the cinematic for Vanilla.
Wow.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I got to go back and find it. But I'm like, God, that looks so familiar.
Yeah, I thought that was supposed to be sort of like the scene later in the movie when they're having the Mat-Gora.
Yeah, the Mat-Gora.
Oh, yeah. But it was like different. It was like out in like a dusty kind of,
right,
almost like a Outlands type area.
Yeah,
right.
Well, it kind of does. What I thought was cool about it is like with the area that, you know, the Dark Portal's in Azeroth. That's what is it, Moros, which ends up turning into where the Dark Portal is now, and you can kind of see like why everything's dead.
Right.
They kind of explained it in the movie about how like the fell just kills everything off. So like in the beginning of the movie, it's shown as like a swamp, which I think you can go back to like Black Morass in the Caverns of Time. And it's a swamp, but really that's that area where the Dark Portal is now. And it kind of explains why it's not a swamp anymore. Everything's dead and killed off.
Yeah, because, like, in the books, it's, like, once the orcs started becoming warlocks and using the fell, it started, like, killing their world, and then, like, they couldn't use their shaman magic anymore because it was, like, rejecting them because of their use of the fell. And when they made the portal, it started to kind of, like, seep through even to Azeroth. So they started changing the swamp into that kind of shitty Outlands type of place.
Right? Well, they explained it like wherever Gul'dan was doing his magic or whatever, was everything died around it.
Yeah. Which I was surprised Gul'dan was so buff too.
when he's kind of right? Strong, when he stands up.
When he, I was like, when shit, he takes why the is cloak he all off?
Crunched over? And then he's like, whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, he still cheated, but... But yeah, I thought Gul'dan was cool.
I thought they did a really good job with, like, Stormwind. Like, when it does that big panned out, like, scene of Stormwind, you can actually be like, oh, there's the Citadel, there's the church, there's the castle.
Oh, yeah, did you also notice when the Griffin flies in to Stormwind, too? It's the same, it is the exact location for that flight path.
Oh, talk to like Lance Stormwind.
I didn't notice that.
The flight master there?
Yep.
I didn't realize, I didn't notice that.
Yep.
That's very cool.
So the only thing that I was like questionable about it, like towards the end, was I watched a Belular video kind of talking about Medivh, and I don't think he's dead. I think that in his video, like, he said that they had that Blizzard has said that he's not dead. He's just kind of like off in a different world or different visiting different worlds or something like that, which is kind of something Blizzard likes to do. They like to not finish stories so that they can come back to them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And I think they probably had that in mind the way they killed him in the movie to sort of set themselves up for sequels, which I mean, they could have kept going with them. It would have been, I think it would have been an okay kind of film series. Right. Like, I liked how it looked and everything. There's just some of the story elements where, like, Medivh was kind of just, like, super obviously a villain from almost the beginning.
Right.
He's just like... And then, that's not also not how I would have pictured Anduin Lothar being either. I pictured him to be like a really kind of like huge buff, like justice type of guy.
Right.
Where they kind of made him seem, maybe it's just because I've seen Vikings, so I kind of just see him as that character from Vikings.
Yeah.
Where it kind of like taints. It's like, it doesn't seem like Anduin Lothar really to me. But
oh no, other
it
than
was
like
mostly
the...
just the character differences, I think, was the only things that didn't really work for me.
I mean, other than the parts after his son died where he was all, like, depressed and stuff, he was kind of a badass.
Yeah, does he even have a son in, like, the games? Or I don't remember a son being mentioned in the books.
I don't know.
So that was all different, too. And, yeah, in the book also, what's that?
The joke's on you, I don't read.
You should start reading.
I read.
There's audiobooks.
Hard eye on.
I'll just record it so you can listen to my voice.
There you go.
But yeah, like in the books, Anduin Lothar chops off Medivh's head. So that was also there wasn't the whole golem thing either. That was kind of strange.
Yeah, they just threw that in.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I don't even care that it's different from the books, but that's just not how I would have liked that confrontation to go. I would have kind of liked to actually see them going up against him, which I can see how it might be slightly unbelievable.
Yeah.
When they ended that movie, like, they were going to make another. I mean, the ending of that movie is like, okay, what's next? So it's hard to tell what ideas they had going forward for it.
I bet it had to be a daunting task, though, when you think about it. So, like, with WoW's lore being kind of all over the place, right? Like, how do you incorporate certain characters and not confuse your audience further who don't know anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And not having to do a giant-ass backstory, you know?
Yeah, it would have had to been like Lord of the Rings, where there's, like, a whole, you know, prologue where it's, like, you know, 10 minutes of Galadriel explaining the One Ring and the entire history of Middle Earth almost.
Right. Yeah, there wasn't much prologue at all.
No.
And I just kind of think that with the amount of lore and history and stuff to cover, it would just work much better as a series, honestly.
It would. Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Anybody else have any thoughts on the movie, or we can start talking about what we would like to see going forward? Because I know that there's rumors of a Netflix show.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. I haven't looked too much into it, but I did see that. I don't know if it was on like my feed or something on Google or what, but I did see something about that.
Yeah, there was like an IGN interview where they kind of asked him, like, what are you guys going to do with Warcraft and other... Are you going to do... I think they asked him if there's going to be more movies or shows.
Right.
And they were kind of saying that's a whole part of their plan going forward with their... Like, they're trying to set everything up so that they can have, like, a whole green light process, which I'm sure, like, Metzen is involved in.
Right.
But I think it'd be pretty good as a series, in, you know, sort of like a Game of Thrones, Witcher, you know, that type of series, I feel like would work very well.
Yeah, awesome. I think it's the only way to
storytellers.
Yeah. Well, I think as long as they develop a strong direction and are able to like flesh out the story, because it's not going to, I don't think it's going to be easy. And you're not going to make everybody happy, right?
Yeah, impossible.
So.
Take a vote.
Yeah, but I feel like they should start from like, they should have some sort of prologue thing where they start way back. I don't really think it would work as well starting kind of from where they started the movie.
Yeah.
It'd be better to get like, you know, the whole Titans and the Draenei and Sargeras. Right.
Was it Exodar? Was that their planet?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
It Exodar?
Is Exodar, the Exodar didn't it become is the Argus? Ship.
The Exodar is the ship? What's the planet?
Is Argus the planet?
I believe it's Argus. Or it was Argus.
Argus, you're right.
Right. Yeah, so this Argus, which is... What are they called? Eladar? Is that what the Draenei's like actual name is as a species? Yeah. And then Sargeras comes to them... And I guess he's come to many other species before, and he like offers them great power, and he just like corrupts them and turns them into, you know, part of his burning legion. Is that what it's called, or burning crusade?
Yep. Burning legion.
Yep.
Yeah, and then the Draenei just means like exile, right?
Yeah, they named themselves that after they left Argus.
Yeah, because like of their three leaders, Velen did not, he saw like that this was not going to be a good thing, so he left, and you know, they were running away from him for a long time until they get to Draenor, which is where the orcs are.
Right.
Yep.
But yeah, that'd be the best way to do it, because then you understand what's happening, and then you can kind of see, I feel like following the orcs for a while would be good to kind of see motivation for them. Because otherwise, they're just like, oh, fucking orcs. They're evil, and they want to kill humans and stuff.
Well, and that's the thing, is like that series could go forever. I mean, absolutely forever. Especially if you start, you know, that far back. I mean, even now that Dragonflight's out, we're kind of getting the story of like how the dragons interacted with the Titans and how that all happened. Like, you could even start way back then.
Yeah, that's crazy, huh?
Yeah, it's just that there's so much to it that it'd be hard to... it would be a series that'd be forever.
Yeah.
I mean...
I feel like they'd have to do, like Bean was saying, start with a prologue that discusses, like, the beginning and involving the Titans, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then going into Kill Jaden and Valen and turning the Draenei, right? And then, I mean, there's so many backstories, man. There's a whole backstory on Torin, right, and all the other races, and how, right? So,
it's a whole series on that.
yeah. So I feel like they kind of have to just pick one starting point, and I think that would have to be explaining the Titans, explaining the beginning, explaining Sargeras, right, and why his mindset is the way that it is, and then going from there with the Draenei, with introduction to the orcs, and so on and so forth. I think that would be the best way forward.
Yeah. Because I feel you like you definitely have to dedicate time to the orcs before they're crazed. Otherwise, it's just going to be hard for anyone to root for that side, you know?
Well, you know, that was an issue for me, actually, when I first tried playing WoW, was that I didn't know anything about the Horde. I didn't know anything about the orcs. So I was just like, who the hell wants to play a bad guy? Like, that was like, that. Well, I'm serious. Like, that was like my thought process, right? Because orcs aren't portrayed as good, right? When you refer to them in any other type of story, Lord of the Rings, right? So if you don't know about that struggle and the whole point of what they're doing and how they're being manipulated and the whole backstory to that, then you really are just stuff like, oh, well, this is just good versus evil, when it's much more complex.
Yeah. It's more of a, like, they're manipulated, and then they reach a point where instead of, like, okay, let's change our ways, they're kind of like, well, we're already so, you know, we're so screwed that we may as well just lean into it at this point.
Yeah. Own it. Yeah.
Yeah, one thing about the movie that I thought was kind of weird was, I mean, the focus, obviously, and you go back to, like, the first Warcraft game, it's orcs versus humans. But then it's like, well, we'll sprinkle a little bit of Draenei in here, but we won't talk about it. We'll sprinkle a little bit of the High Elves were there for, like, a second at, you know, towards the end when they were, like...
Yeah, and the council...
The dwarves had a little bit more in there, but even then, it was just like there was no like real talk about them. Yeah, it was just like, oh, we're in Ironforge. Here's a gun.
Yeah, there was hardly any focus on the allied races and or the alliance, right? And I don't know if you guys noticed, but the ears on the High Elves looked terrible in that movie. I could not believe it in comparison to how well they made the orcs look.
Yeah, the orcs looked, like, really good.
They look good. Yeah. And it makes sense that there was no other Horde races, because it's basically telling the story of the orcs just newly coming
to Azeroth. Yeah, it's, like, the first war, so they don't really have time to, like, find all the other...
The other thing I thought was funny as hell was the Kirin Tor, the freaking glowy eyes.
Oh,
it looks so goofy.
It looks pretty corny, and they're like eyebrows.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, that doesn't look so cool.
some of the fell too, right? Like, I feel like that color green is something you have to be careful about in a movie, because it can come off looking a little hokey, you know?
Yeah.
Says the person that plays a demon hunter.
You demon.
It's different when you have... real life action and then mixing it with it versus WoW's graphics.
Yeah. Well, because they were definitely like setting up a different style with the movies, because it basically have to be animated to really.
Yeah, but there's no way to make that color green style look like it should exist.
Like, right. Ever. Right. That's why I said it's tricky. So,
But yeah, they could use like an animated series to cover a lot of the kind of extra stuff, really.
I think the animated series would go well compared to a live action, truthfully.
Well, yeah, because all those colors, even the scheme. So I did think they did a really good job on some of the, like, the weapons looked really nice, but like some of the stuff looked a little hokey, like some of the shoulders for the Stormwind Knights, right? Or like
the
king, what's his name?
Lane.
His helm. Yeah. Like his
helm. His helm didn't look so cool.
It didn't look so good, right? Or looking. even the throne looked a little little much. But you can get away with that stuff in anime, right? Like, how many times have you seen a live action anime movie and it just, you can't buy the realism of it, right? But if you throw it in an anime, It's a lot easier to buy into that world.
Yeah.
That's how things look.
Yeah, but if they did something like the Edge Runners, or, you know, something along those lines with Warcraft.
But, like, the orcs' armor and their weapons looked badass. Fantastic. In that movie. They looked great.
Yeah.
Blackhand with the two, like, I don't know, are they, like, drakes or something, like... skulls on each shoulder with the
almost dinosaur looking
spines. That looks so cool.
Yeah, there were some good. I think there were some really good things in that movie.
So one thing that kind of annoyed me was, like, when you looked at the orcs, you could tell who the badasses were. Like, yeah, just by looking at them, you could tell, oh, Black Hand's a badass. Goldan's a badass. You could
tell who is the peon.
You look at the, yeah, yep. And you look at the humans and you're like, Lothar just looks like a dude.
Yeah.
Or like,
that's, King, that's Ren one just, thing, right? Like,
or,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, in Gorana, like, she's a human who's green and has slightly longer canines.
She's a sexy orc.
Yeah.
Dude, in the game, she's like a badass assassin, though.
Yeah.
Which it kind of makes me wonder exactly where they're going with her story if they were to continue on.
Yeah, I was really, like, tripped out when they were saying she was half orc. I thought, like, half orc, half human.
Right. So, well, you would, like, think how that, in the looking hell, at her.
If this is, like, the first contact, how is she half human?
Right?
Well, did they even explain that she was half Drenae?
No, they don't.
Or is that just because we know?
No, she says it in the movie. She says it in the movie.
Because I remember saying she's half orc, but I don't know if she ever, like, explained the Drenae side.
Hmm. I must have missed that line.
Yeah.
Me too.
But yeah, she's probably one of the better characters from the movie, I felt like.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you think of the movie? Go.
Yeah, go. What do you think of the movie?
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's just so much of it that...
so much.
You can't focus on one part. So you just kind of take it all in, just accept it for what it is, and can't wait until they come out with the second one 10 years later.
Yeah, well, you might be holding your breath for a while.
No, but going back to them creating this series, if they go the same route that Disney went with Star Wars, having multiple different stories going on at once, then they could join them whenever they wanted to, or whenever it was a crowd favorite.
That's an interesting thought.
Yeah, that's true.
True.
Because they really do have, like, an extreme amount of content to where they could have, like, multiple kind of things going on at once.
Yeah.
I did.
Your dog agrees.
FBI, open up.
Yeah. What would you be more likely to watch? Go, animated series, live action series, movie?
Go with, like, a little action series, probably.
Yeah.
Because, like, with y'all talking here, yeah, I don't know a lot of this backstory like y'all know it. So I'm just sitting here just trying to, like, listen and trying to figure this out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I only know, like, the beginning part of it.
And I know, there's, like, I all know this less
that I don't know. And I know, like this.
Yeah. Don't come to us for accuracy. This is just discussions.
We're just talking about what little we do know.
That's what I'm saying. It's like they break it up into just little parts of each individual main character or whatever you want to. They could fill it all in as needed.
That's true.
It depends. We'll see. There's so many characters, though, that play pivotal roles in different parts of the whole story, right? So that's I think if you go too niche, or like if you're going to cover, like, a kingdom, like, it's going to have to be, like, a real quick overlook, right, of those people. Like, you can't have a whole season dedicated to a particular, like, the Khal Tirans or something, right? Because people would just get bored, be like, I don't fucking care about the Khal Tirans.
It's such a fucking Navy stuff.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm
saying. You'll polarize your audience real fast.
They can start in one area, then just kind of go with the crowd, how they're feeling of where they want to take it story-wise.
I mean, like, story. The hard part is, like, if you look at, like, Lord of the Rings, right, and The Hobbit, you're looking at a big chunk of either book or movie that's talking about one event.
Yep.
Each one's one
full
event.
Story.
You look at WoW, and you're looking at tons of events over thousands of years.
Yeah, all very important events.
Yeah, you're looking at 50 events, all specific to... Yeah.
And all of them are important events. I mean, they're things that shape the world and shape the different characters that we know in the game. You know, and especially with like the more them leaning more now into the dragons and learning that the dragons, you know, had a lot to do with the Titans and the Titans giving them kind of their bringing them from their primal versions to a more intelligent version. Like the big story in the game is the Titans and how the Titans have kind of created what we're dealing with and what they've done throughout, whether it's their interactions with the old gods, their interactions with the dragons, their, you know, everything kind of ties around them. It would be interesting to see like a series that goes more in depth into the Titans, because we get a decent amount of story about them, but it seems like there's so much more to it.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of all coming to a head here with like War Within and this whole World Soul Saga. I think it's kind of going to be like a big, it's going to be all about, you know, this Titan stuff that nobody really knows about even since they started it all. Because it's kind of just been left up in the air as sort of a big mystery, really. So it might even get some sort of resolution, I would guess. But another thing, though, is that, like, Lord of the Rings, that story is the end.
Yeah.
That,
right.
That's the third big age. Final event. There's, like, after that, it's like, and then everyone, you know, went home and smoked their pipes and drank their ales and Frodo fell on a boat.
They went off to a far, far away land where they could live forever on a farm.
Yeah, that's just Frodo and Bill.
Yep. That's right.
Sam had to stay behind and get some of that hot bussy. Yeah. But yeah, there's not an end in WoW, and I don't think
Sam was
gonna
just
be
gay
an end
for the stay,
WoW.
You know?
So yeah, without like a big ending, you can't put that amount of focus on one event.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it is kind of cool the way that they've kind of sprinkled the Titan stuff in throughout the different expansions. So like our first real like interaction with the Titans like in game was back in vanilla with Oldham. Is that what it's called?
The old with Nagini Bronzebeard.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Where you get the like plates at the end. That's the first time that they talk about it. And then kind of, as you go through the expansions, they'll add a raid here, like with Old War and stuff like that. And then finally they start to bring you into the story of, oh, well, the Titans did this, and this is why this is here. And it's kind of cool the way, I don't know, I give them the benefit of the doubt of whether or not this was all planned out, but they kind of worked us into the point where we're at now.
Yeah, it kind of like seems like it would be like, oh, this was the plan all along. But maybe that's just because they left so many, you know, breadcrumbs. Like this might be a thing later. Yeah. So
again, I don't envy the writers or who had to like try and correlate a bunch of things and make decisions on when to either bring certain characters back, right? Things like that, and the timing of it. So I don't know.
Well, they're really good at leaving things at the perfect place to where we can leave it right now, come back to it later, and it'll still be in people's minds, but they're not going to question it.
Well, we'll think about Guther, right? How Guther made an appearance in Shadowlands, right? I didn't expect that.
Uther?
Or Uther. Sorry, I said Guther. Sorry, guys. Sorry, guys. Guther.
Yeah,
right, I'll cut that.
Come on.
Remember to cut this. Remember to cut this. Yeah, not Guther.
No, Guther's too good.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. That was I wasn't expecting that. Yeah. But it ties in with the whole idea of like Anduin kind of becoming the Lich King and
right.
Yeah, it was really cool how they pulled all that together.
Lich King, I know that.
Like
one.
Sometimes they may be shit at a game like systems and stuff like that, but WoW's always been really good at storytelling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say since
speaking of where we're at in the game,
killed Terra, is that the proper name? Kilterra, whatever it was. That's where I'm at.
Kilterra?
Yeah.
Oh, you're in Kul Tira?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Oh, so you're in Battle for Azeroth.
Yeah.
The cutscene.
You get your mouse yet?
Helping. No. Was supposed to get a mouse?
Never mind.
What?
Yeah, the cutscenes won't help starting in Battle for Azeroth, really.
Helps sell the story.
Yeah, it helps me kind of retain what's going on. Instead of reading every single thing that's popping up. Which is important.
Definitely your first time playing through like you're doing. You'll definitely want to watch the cutscenes, because not just that it gives you an idea of what's going on, but they're good. I mean, they do really good job at their cutscenes.
Yeah. I just meant, like, as far as him, like, getting into the lore, starting with Battle for Azeroth cutscenes isn't, like, going to, like, enlighten him very well, I don't think.
It's going to let him know what's going on then.
Yeah.
But not know why. Or,
hey, I like Donner's answer, not yours, Mikey. So,
no, watch the cutscenes.
I mean, to his point, do you understand who Jaina is? Jaina Proudmoore?
Yeah, it is. Proudmoore. Not talking.
She's the person that you.
Elsa, yeah.
She's the one that you rode the boat over to kill Kul Tiras with.
Yeah.
Like, she's a super important part in the story that you're missing out on because of the previous expansions. Yep. But that expansion tells kind of her story of where she came from.
Yep.
Yeah.
From Great Britain.
Yep.
Her daddy.
Yeah. You get a good... I don't remember how much of that's covered in Wrath. I know you learn a good bit about... It involves her a lot.
Yeah, I still haven't played through Wrath.
Oh, it'll be next after BC.
Is that the next one, Wrath?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's we'll be doing that before long then.
Yeah. It is so good.
I need to start with is BC and work my way through there.
Yeah, the way we're kind of doing it, BC is the first expansion, and from what I've read, Vanilla WoW really didn't have a ton of story anyways.
No, I mean, like...
It was more about just, this is the world.
Like, every area had its own kind of idea and conflict, and then the raids had, like, their story behind them. The dungeons had their story behind them, but it wasn't like the expansions where there was a main story that kind of led you through that expansion.
Yeah. So, yeah. BC's probably the best place to start, but in Questline Chronicles, we're not exactly reading quests and
paying attention to what the hell's going on. We're just enjoying the game.
Yeah, we're just having fun.
Learning our classes, shooting the shit.
I'm enjoying the cutscenes where I don't have to read. Okay.
Whenever we do reach some cutscenes, we will be watching them.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. Like seeing you guys run through this stuff that I've already ran through and kind of you guys seeing the things that I saw when I first jumped into that expansion.
Yeah.
It's cool because you kind of take for granted those past expansions because you're so focused on what's going on right now. But like that whole, like, and of course we didn't have like the real feeling of it because we didn't really do like a vanilla. But, like, that whole idea of jumping in, oh, crap, these quests are, like, go collect 20 things, and you're competing with other people to collect them, and kill God knows how many of this. And, I mean, it's, you still have those quests now, but it was a little more work back then.
Yeah.
The Carbot does a great example of an animated short of that. I'm sure you've seen it, Donix.
He's got some pretty funny stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it shows the orc holding up the quest, and it's like getting the teeth from the dogs, and he kills the dogs, and there's no teeth, and he opens their mouths, and like all of them just have gums, and there's no teeth, and then he finally finds one dog that has like a tooth in its mouth, and I think the reward is like a tabard or something, and it looks like crap.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
The funniest thing is just wearing the gear we get from quests and none of it matches. It's all just janky looking. Yeah. And
Yeah, I'm like decked out in purple and gold.
Looking like a you're, clown. Yeah.
Your guy looks like a pimp, Bean.
Yeah, I know.
With his pimp hat and his purple robe. And
just got to get that motorcycle with the sidecar.
That's right. You got to get it, man.
And I have somewhere to take Lance.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
You got the money. I got the time, honey.
Well, you're going to grab the money and then bring it to me is what's
going to happen. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You got to pay for gas, man.
Yeah.
Ain't no gas. Wow.
Oh, right. Did we just lose Donix?
No, I'm here.
No, he's here.
He's here.
Oh, the camera popped off.
Oh,
weird.
I still see him.
yours gets pixelated every once in a while.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's yours is completely gone.
Oh, weird.
Yeah.
It should say
Yeah. No, it does. Resolution. It doesn't. I noticed that. Yeah, it doesn't say that.
Yeah, it's like whatever you're seeing is not like we're all seeing whatever version we're seeing, but it's all going to be uploaded with what you've got going on.
Gotcha. You guys want to talk about Seeds of Renewal?
Yes, I just shared that in this Riverside chat if you guys want to click that link, because it kind of goes down the whole list of everything. We can kind of go over it real
quick.
That's
a good article on it.
Yeah.
I'm interested in Dragon Hills.
Would you want to go over like the things that we're looking forward to instead of every item on the thing?
Yeah, we could do that.
I mean, I don't know really if like discovering Belemeth is really that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I'm honestly excited for the dragon flying in all the other zones and stuff, because it's definitely going to make things like, okay, let's say we want to go, hey, I know where to get this cool mount. We can, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to make moving and getting to old dungeons, getting to old raids, mount farming old content or farming old content in general. Like, it's going to be a really much more awesome enjoyable
experience.
That. Right.
And then a lot of, like, all the flying mounts are getting dragon flying, right?
That's what I understand, is like you basically, they're changing it from dragon flying to dynamic flight, and you'll be able to choose whether or not you want to use dynamic flight or the old
way of flying. They both have their advantages, right? So
It sounds like there's not going to be
the
like
old
a...
old flying is good if you just want to like, you know, hit auto run and go grab something.
Well, it sounds like, too, that there's not going to be, like, a skill tree like what we have now for Dragonflight, that it'll be kind of like a static thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Dude, I'm looking forward to the changes for, if you guys remember playing Shadowlands, how you got your Covenant abilities.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Always kind of, it's kind of thrown me off playing Dragonflight, and I throw down Elysian Decree. As a demon hunter, and I'm like, Shadowlands. But, it looks like, you know what I mean? Like, I know where it comes from. I know why it looks the way it looks.
Yeah.
And I like the idea that that's changing to chaos damage, right? Which is what's more in line with a demon hunter for that. Yeah. So I think that's really cool.
And then they said that there's going to be a way for people that like the older style to acquire that as like a look, right?
Yeah.
So that
choice
is
always
cool.
Good in an MMO, right?
Yeah.
One thing I want to say before I forget, there was some article I'd read saying that there was mention of dynamic ground mounts. So
dynamic
that might
how would
be,
that work?
I'm guessing it's going to be ground mounts that have abilities that you can press while using them. So I would guess it's probably slightly faster and has some sort of, you know,
like having like a dash or something with your
like
mount.
Dashes or vaults or, you know, like a leap. I don't know like what their plans are for it, but that idea sounded pretty interesting to where it will feel maybe more natural. Or if it feels like going from old flying to dragon flying,
right?
Except for ground mounts, I mean, that's got to be good, right?
Yeah, that wouldn't be that wouldn't be affecting mount movement in dungeons, though, right? Like, because that would be, man, you could skate
that would
some
be
stuff.
Broken.
Yeah. Very broken.
I would imagine
not. It depends.
And maybe it's just going to be like for all going forward. Yeah. Maybe they'll design dungeons with that in mind, but who knows?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then there was the Azerothian Archives was the thing. Or did you have something else to say?
Oh, I was just going to ask what Donix was looking forward to the most, if he had anything in particular.
Yeah. I mean, definitely the dragon flying. I'm kind of interested. I mean, I like the story stuff, so I'm interested in the claiming of Gilneas. I think that would be cool. Just to kind of tie up that story. Follower dungeons, I think that would be pretty cool. Interesting. I want to see exactly how they implement it, though.
Yeah.
Definitely a good way to kind of cut your teeth if you're nervous about tanking or healing for the first time.
And then I think you were talking to us a little bit, Mikey, that like the Azerothian Archives, that's kind of like an archaeology deal.
Yeah, that might be the new archaeology profession. Maybe that's how it works going forward. I think they did have some pretty cool looking transmogs, and I know there's like a some sort of like lizard dinosaur ground mount you could get from it too. Yep, so I don't know. This might be like a cool thing going forward. I'm not sure if it's like a redesign or just like a little one-off type deal. But I know that there has been more of a focus on like evergreen things that they want to add to the game instead of like, here's a garrison. Never go to it again.
Or never see other people again.
Yes.
Gotta work on my garrison.
I'll see you at the raid. Yeah.
But yeah.
Now I don't need you for dungeons.
I'm just going to play the whole game by myself.
That's right.
I'm all about them taking things that aren't necessarily used or popular anymore and revamping them to make them viable again. Like archaeology. Yeah. I think is a really cool idea for a trade skill. I mean, if the
it is cool,
but it hasn't really been a thing for a while.
Yeah. Well, all the trade skills, right? At some point and for a while in WoW's history, kind of really struggled with like, okay, cool, I hit max level in blacksmithing, right? It felt like the reward wasn't really there until you got to the very end of it, right? And then you grind out the material for that.
Yeah, because like a lot of the earlier stuff that you can craft is just, it's not worth it, you know?
Right. And like Donix was saying, like if you don't clean up those systems, I mean, over time, it just becomes clutter in the game.
It's just there. Right? It's not serving a purpose. And for the longest time, the big problem was they always wanted to make people feel like they were getting rewarded for their progress in raids and mythics. So that's where all the high level stuff, you could never make anything that was equivalent.
Right. Correct.
So I'm hoping that now that they're kind of figuring out a balance between group play and solo play, that maybe at some point they'll look at the trade skills and be like, this can be a whole nother way of playing. This could be a whole nother thing. That
a whole nother end game.
Exactly. Yeah. That if we can put things in the game that make it equivalent to something that you could get out of a raid, but it's really hard to make, people are going to dive into that. Like, they're going to feel like they have a purpose for doing a trade skill.
I don't want to have it. I don't want to say make it like New World, because while it does have a pretty cool crafting system, it is extreme. Like,
it's very grindy. Of
like level one match, you need to do anything with higher level stuff.
But that again,
my
go ahead.
I was just gonna say my only concern with the trade skill, I want to see them have a boost and like have it be a form of end game. The only thing I don't want to see though. Is it become this thing where it's like, oh, you want to push that mythic higher? Oh, well, you have to level this up.
You have to have this at max level.
Right, and there's no other viable option. You know, like, I don't want it to be one system to be made solely mandatory. Reliant on another, or made mandatory to progress in another area necessarily. Yeah. Other than story, right? Bad. I think story is important. I think story is important. You should always go through the story. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not like it's too tedious. I enjoy it. But yeah, I don't want to create a system that is reliant completely on that.
No, well, that's a good point.
And the other part that you need to look at for making it viable is, okay, so say you can get this piece of gear out of a heroic raid. How do you scale that amount of difficulty to being able to make something at that level as a trade skill?
Right? Yeah.
And then without it's hard to balance just being time, right? I don't know how you do that without just being a time gated or a grind. But
and we don't like time then gates.
It just turns into like artificial, like wasting of your time, sort of like how it was in Shadowlands or like any old expansion where you have to like grind out rep with each all and stuff. Where it's like it shouldn't take this long, you know?
It should be choices, right? Like, oh, I could go do this dungeon at this difficulty to get this kind of item. Or I could get something similar of equal quality if I'm going to solo and my goal is to make this for myself or sell these, right? Mm-hmm. I think there needs to be balance in that sense. And there needs to be unique rewards, right? Like, I don't want to... How would you feel accomplished if you push a high key or you push a raid at a high level and the guy who blacksmith for 800 hours gets an identical item? You know, I would like it. It should be unique, right? Like that's unique. Yeah. So when you see that, you know, holy crap, like that guy spent a lot of time.
Yeah. Well, the equivalent is much better than skills. Identical there. Yeah.
Right.
Well, and they already kind of do that with the tier set for this expansion, you know, like they're different color schemes. So if you know, you see someone, you know, all decked out and like for displeased, I think the like heroic raid version of the tier is like a blue. So when you see someone decked out in all blue in that tier set, you know what they did.
Yeah, you kind of like know their accomplishment level.
Right. Unless you're like me and you get it luckily rolled on a quest.
Fucker.
Yeah.
How unfortunate for you. I have all the sympathy in the world for you.
Yeah. This is the best I felt about WoW in a week that I barely played.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it's not really a huge time commitment, and you got...
Yeah, you didn't kill yourself over it, right? Which you shouldn't have to every week.
Yeah, it's a good feeling for like dads like us, where we don't have all the time to just play WoW all day, every day. Yeah. Where you can, you know, get geared up in a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah, right. I mean, you still got to have balance, though. There has to be value in going after the harder, difficulty stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I got that, I'm stoked I got it for doing four mythics, but the amount of work that other people are having to do to get that same weapon is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, that comes out of heroic raid, and it's not a guarantee that it's going to drop every time.
Yeah.
So I'm super happy for me, but I also feel bad for anybody that's trying to farm it.
Well, that's part of it, though, right? RNG and the luck of the draw, right? Mm-hmm. Every dungeon you run, every quest you do, even when it comes to the rarity of the item.
I'm going to get shit for the next month now.
Yep.
As you should.
Alrighty.
You want your healer to be geared, man.
All right. Did anybody have any other things to say about this page? I know there's some stuff about classes, but nothing crazy from what I can see.
I didn't read in about the Outland Cup.
It's like a racing thing, right?
Yeah,
have you guys looked into any of the PvP? Never mind. Those are character specific.
There's new character customizations, but I'm not sure if that's really whatever.
For trolls and Draenei, right?
They're doing stuff for UI too. It looks kind of minimal. I mean, maybe it's not minimal. It's a decent page.
There's a couple bullets.
Yeah.
I'm trying to read through it real quick, see if there's anything that kind of sticks out to me.
I think it's making organization of your UI a lot friendlier, which is always great.
Yeah, that's almost
good. It looks like for PvP, they just made changes to the couple PvP talents is all.
Oh, yeah. I saw some people complaining about how they're not tuning PvP.
Yeah.
Which I'd understand to be reasonably upset about. So they were saying, like, I think Shaman is, like, OP. It needs to be tuned, but...
Well, the problem is whenever they do tuning, someone's going to be OP. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like, you just hope that you just hope that the next patch your class is OP.
Yeah. So that's the podcast, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. So if you got any questions, comments, concerns, let us know. If you want to be featured on future episodes, drop a comment. We'll get a conversation going.
Tell us how much shit we got wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's going to be a bunch.
I know we probably really mispronounced things or got multiple lore points wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Can't wait to read through those.
But yeah, alrighty. We'll catch you next time. Sayonara.
Toodles.
Laters.